It's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you, and it is indeed well with our souls this morning. No matter what is happening in our world, we are so grateful for the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. We invite you on Tuesday, January 19th, if you are here in Ephraim, if you would come to the church, to the outside of the church in your cars. We're going to be ringing the bell at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, which is 5:30 Eastern Time, along with churches all over this nation as we commemorate lives lost from COVID-19 and pray for unity in our nation. We hope that you will join us in this effort. Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. It was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I tried to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. I invite you to sing along with my lovely guest Cindy Steele and myself as we sing the hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing. To that point of our worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. Today we are commemorating the life of Martin Luther King Jr. We're so grateful for his life. We're so grateful for his legacy. For our praise reports, we are so grateful to celebrate with Bob and Liz 70 years of marriage. The lovely flowers that are here in front of the communion table were some of the lovely bouquets that they received in honor of their wedding anniversary. And of course, I will tell Bob, you're a lucky man. We also want to celebrate with Lonnie and Gary as they welcome a new granddaughter, Sasha Irene. And we're celebrating with Karen, who celebrated her 80th birthday this week. For our prayer concerns, we want to remember Angela, Ryan, Milo, Theo, and Enzo in our prayers. They had to put their beloved dog Gizmo to sleep this week, and we know how difficult that was for them. So we ask for prayers for that family. We want to remember our nation as we enter a new era and a new administration. We want to ask for prayers for Kathy Z, who was sent to the hospital yesterday. We want to ask for prayer for Donette, who remains in a nursing home with health struggles. Continued prayers for Jeff, Julianne, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jaden, and Madeline. We also want to have a praise report for Rhea, who we've been praying for. She had surgery, did very well with surgery and with treatment, and she so looks forward to the time when we'll all be together and she can worship with us. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our hearts are overflowing today with gratitude. Gratitude for those who stand for what is righteous and good. Gratitude for those who stand for justice. Gratitude for all the ways in which your grace and mercy are showered upon us. We're grateful that Bob and Liz have been able to celebrate 70 years together. We're so grateful for new life, for the life of Sasha Irene, who's brought such joy to her family. We're so grateful that you have given Karen another year of life. Lord, we would turn our hearts and our attention to those who are in need of your grace. We ask that you would be with Angela's family as they mourn the loss of their beloved pet, that you would grant to them your peace and your love. We bring before you Kathy, and we ask that you would undertake in her life as she undergoes tests today, that Donette might know your grace, that Jeff, Julianne, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jaden, and Madeline, they continue to struggle, that your mercy would be upon them. We ask, O Lord, that you would inspire our nation, that we might come together in unity, in love, and in peace. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture lesson is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Here I am. And ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lied down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there till morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that God told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Pastor Dan Olson, and it's entitled "Hearing Voices." If I were to proclaim that with my own ears I literally heard God's voice speaking to me, almost certainly some would say that I am several sandwiches short of a picnic. That's an honor I could do without. But really, I do hear God speaking, and so do you. Often God's voice can be heard in the unlikeliest places. My very first Sunday school teacher, Marie, was a friendly and kind woman who had the fortitude to conquer my complete rebellion at being left with this woman I didn't know. But she won my heart. She was present at my ordination many years later. Surely, God spoke through her. God speaks to us on our parents' laps, in the Bible, in church, through a beautiful sunset, in music, by gazing at the night sky. We hear God's voice clearly at the birth of a child or in a gentle smile, and the list goes on. We are encouraged to pray without ceasing. So often, though, we inundate God with a Gatling gun full of words. Prayer is a dialogue, really, and it serves us well to be silent so we can hear God speaking to us. 4 times Samuel heard God calling, as we read in the book of Samuel. This is how Samuel came to know the Lord and subsequently grew to be a trusted servant and prophet. Every person alive has a purpose in life, even if they don't know it. By speaking to us, God shows us the way and reveals our inner strength and purpose. These are words you can trust your life with. Are you listening? Amen.
Father, feed
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You remember last week I was talking about the fact that when we talk about Christmas and the wise men coming, we usually leave it there. We leave it at the point where the wise men present their gifts and everything's glowing and wonderful, and we don't like to talk about what happens later, which was the slaughter of innocents and the Holy Family having to leave in terror for another country. And we have the same circumstance here in the gospel, in the Old Testament passage I read. We usually stop at the point where Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And we talk about hearing the voice of God. And isn't that a wonderful thing? But you have to read the rest of it, because when God speaks, it's not something Samuel wants to hear or repeat. We love hearing the voice of God when it's gentle. We love hearing the voice of God when it reinforces our worldview. But we sure don't like it when God calls us to task. Remember the story of Samuel? He was a blessed little boy, and his parents, as a thank you, gave him back to the church, to the temple, so that he could live out his life serving God. And they placed him in the care of Eli. Now, Eli was a wonderful priest, but he had one fatal flaw. He had two useless kids. And that's not all his fault. I mean, when you raise your kids, you hope they become decent human beings. Sometimes that doesn't happen. But what he did was he allowed these two to become priests. He allowed these two to defile the temple, to be immoral, to be oppressive. But then he was given this young boy, Samuel. And it seems like he did a really good job with that little boy. And as the boy grew, he was a winsome child. And Eli showed him all about how to conduct life in the temple. And even when Samuel came to him, he perceived this was God. And he told Samuel what to do to listen to the voice of God. And then, of course, Samuel hears this terrible prophecy, because God's judgment was coming to the house of Eli. And so, of course, when Samuel woke up in the morning, I'm sure he tiptoed around and hoped that the subject of God wasn't going to come up. And certainly it did. Now, Eli was a tad bit manipulative when he said, "You got to tell me, and if you don't, God's going to do something to you if you don't tell me what's going on." And of course, Samuel was frightened. I don't think because he feared retribution. He probably feared that he was going to hurt Eli with those words. They were terrible words. But Samuel told him the complete truth. That was his first test. And after that, God gave him more words to say. Sometimes they were words of comfort. Sometimes they were words of judgment. Sometimes they were words to confer power on kings, and other times to take it away. And the Bible says that no word ever fell to the ground, which meant all his words were purposeful. And I think about Martin Luther King Jr. and the purposeful words that he spoke. But you know, one of the dangers of someone who has been gone so long, and we have these beautiful words like, "I have a dream," or "hate cannot drive out hate," or "I've been to the mountaintop," we tend to take them out of context. They are beautiful words. But you have to remember, when he was speaking those words, there were daily threats against his life. While he was speaking those words, his house was firebombed. While he was speaking these words, there were people who were also oppressed, who were saying, we don't want peace. We don't think we're going to get peace in our lifetime. We have to take up arms. While he was speaking those words, the FBI had a dossier on him and were trying to undercut his words. While he was speaking these words, churches got firebombed. And I wonder some days if he woke up and said, I don't want to speak those words anymore. Who would have blamed him? He had opportunities to live in peace. He had opportunities to go other places where he would have been welcomed and protected. But he spoke the words of God. One time he spoke words while he was in jail because other clergymen came out and said to him, you're going too fast. You're asking for too much. What was he asking for? That people of color should be given the same rights as everybody else. But they said, oh, you're going too fast. And so we have his words that are entitled Letter from a Birmingham Jail. Sometimes we have to speak the words of God when nobody wants to listen. That's what Samuel had to do. But I also want to talk about Eli, because there's another part of this. What happens when the words are directed to you and I, and they're words we don't want to hear because we have done something wrong? And I think of Eli. What do you do? You know what I do if somebody confronts me with something I've done wrong? Well, I usually do the craven thing. I defend myself, or I bully my way out of it. A few times I've actually risen to my better angels, but you and I know that's awfully hard to do. But Eli did it. What did Eli do after Samuel told him that terrible prophecy? He didn't turn on the boy. He didn't kill the messenger. He simply said, if that's God's will, so be it. And he continued to mentor that child and do what was right, even though there was great judgment on his household. What do you do when the voice of God comes to you with words you don't want to hear? I think of a few examples in our nation's history. One was a governor from Alabama, George Wallace. Martin Luther King Jr. said he was one of the greatest racist threat in our democracy. And yet George Wallace, after he was felled by a bullet, after he started to think about his life, one of the pivotal moments was when he was in a hospital, Shirley Chisholm came to his hospital bed. She was brought there because she was listening to the voice of God. Her constituents were quite angry with her. Why would you go to the bed of a racist? But she went because it was the right thing to do. And when he ran for governor the last time, he assembled the African American community and he asked for forgiveness for his racist ways. And he made good on his promise to bring people of color to the tables of power in Alabama. Why? Because he finally heard the voice of God and he repented. Think about Chuck Colson, who famously said he would run over his own grandmother to help his president. And when he was imprisoned for his role in that era, he made a complete turnaround and began the prison fellowship ministry, which is in existence to this day. Why? Because he heard the voice of God. And it is incumbent upon us when we hear the voice of God. Oh, we love to hear it when we are told we're wonderful people. But we also must hear it when we are called to repentance, when we're called to change our ways, when we're called to love our enemies, when we're called to forgive, when we're called to be righteous. And so, dear friends, as we look to the events of this week, as a new administration is ushered in, as our nation looks to the future, may we all hear and answer the voice of Almighty God. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that as we enter a new era, as we look to repent as a nation for the violence, for our toxic individualism, Lord, I ask that your spirit would stir us to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Protect you. God go beneath you to support you. God go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.